Hey, what's happening, guys? Welcome to episode 24 of the Moto 247 show. Today's guest was Joey Crown. We talked about the outdoors, we talked about Loretta's, and much more in today's episode, and we gave away a signed JC61 t-shirt. And it's our first of our many giveaways that we plan on having here on the Moto 247 show. And if you want to stay up to date on our future giveaways, I definitely recommend you guys follow us on Instagram at the Moto 247 show. And one thing I want to mention before we kick this podcast off is that Joey's at 999 subscribers on YouTube, I think. He's like right there, one away from being monetized. So I definitely recommend you guys to also go over on YouTube and hit that subscribe button on his channel. And, you know, if you want, you can hit the subscribe button on our channel too. But definitely recommend you guys get him to 1K. And he also has a lot of really good videos on there. And he also mentioned that he has a vlog coming up, and it's a vlog from the 2019 Red Bull Straight Rhythm when he won the 125 class back when they were doing the two strokes there. And he said it was going to be like a three-part series that he plans on uploading pretty soon. So, yeah, go over there and check it out. Anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoy. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And we're going episode 24 of the Moto 247 show. And here with Joey Crown. And we're going to talk about Loretta's Awashugal. It seems like it was 1,000 years ago. But I'm going to go over that a little bit and get into what's next, Unadilla. So heck, let's dive into Awashugal. I was going to say Loretta's, but I guess both of us didn't watch too much.
Yeah, might as well start off Awashugal. Joey Crown here. Just chilling here in my basement. Gonna talk a little about racing. Awashugal was a pretty darn good one. Watching a little bit recap here, refresh our memories, but definitely some awesome racing and very entertaining for sure.
Yeah, and it was really good racing in both the 250 and 450 class. Martin did really good. Kind of, I don't know if you'd say shocked some people because he's Jeremy Martin and he's proven that he definitely deserves to be up there and win championships, but I don't think too many people had him beating Jett and Cooper.
Well, yeah, for like him being hurt, I would never guessed him coming back, winning races on the podium like so quick. I figured after his first round back was Red Bud, it was like really so-so. Then Southwick was super rough, and I was like, he's just going to get ready for Supercross. And then he came out at Millville and just, you know, rode amazing, especially that one moto caught Justin Cooper from pretty far behind. Then Awashugal, you said he doesn't really like Awashugal to begin with, and it's one of his harder rounds. And he rode really good. I believe he went 3-1 on the day, or... I believe.
I have this pulled up right here. I'm trying to get that in the points. Martin, 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1.
First overall.
Yeah, and it was pretty impressive. And I was the second moto. I was rooting for Cooper, Justin. He was, you know, closing the gap a little bit, and I wanted to see it race. You know, like I like both those guys, but I was just like a fan, like anyone else. You know, just wanting to see a battle right down the last lap, like we got to see in the 450 class. So. Then Cooper got a little crazy and on the uphill, I guess, through the rollers. Had a very gnarly, scary crash and for sure got super lucky.
Yeah, for sure. And there's that one fan that got the video and probably got a bunch of followers for it. But I wish he just would have caught the last, like, second or two of that crash because she turned away because I think she thought she was gonna get like cleaned out by him and the bike. But just from what she got was pretty gnarly. And
yeah, you are hauling up that hill. It's one of the fastest straightaways, that's for sure. And that track's pretty decently fast, and I've personally never got to race there, but from, you know, obviously you can see on TV the shadows and the square edge bumps, and it's talking to people who have been there and has raced, it's really, really challenging. It's not just looks challenging on TV, you know. It is when you're there in and out of the shadows, and you got a lot of hidden square edge bumps and stuff just ready to bite, so definitely keep you on your toes.
Yeah, like watching it, it just seems so cool, all the scenery, all the trees and everything. But yeah, like getting into the shadows, like we're watching it right now and they're just getting into a bunch of shadows and getting into the woods there, like how hard is that to like really keep at that race pace and not knowing exactly where the ruts are?
Yeah, and everything else, it's really challenging. I guess I haven't raced here, but I've raced in shadows, which I'm sure a lot of people have, and it's super tough when you come from the light into the shade. Because your eyes, you know, have to adjust, and if your eyes are a little bit slow adjusting, you can miss a bump here and there and end up on the ground. So you definitely really have to be focused, and also lenses are kind of a key part in picking what you like. And some people just go clear because you kind of know what you'll get, but there are some lenses out there that will help, you know, the shadows a little bit more and kind of balance things out more. And makes it a little easier, but
yeah, like that track seems so cool, but it seems so difficult, and yeah, led to some really good racing though in both the 250 and 450 class. Jet Lawrence again having some bad luck. What's it been, like four races of him being outside of the top five for at least one moto? He went like 7-2 or something
this round. Unless I'm missing something, I don't remember anything of bad luck. Is more or less just he's not really executing his starts right now. That's the big thing. And as you saw in Millville, if you don't get a good start, you're apt to be collected, and which he was that pretty gnarly pileup before the finish line in the beginning of the second moto, I believe. And so yeah, you gotta get good starts and be away from that stuff, which, you know, I'm sure he's trying super hard, working on his starts, trying to make it happen, and it's just not happening right now. But yeah, if it's a broken record for any one of the 40 guys in the line, you know, it's like they want to get a good start. So it's tough. Only a couple of guys are getting good starts. Everyone can't get a whole shot. So if hopefully for his sake, in the break, he figures out whatever it is challenging him in the starts and is able to put himself in better positions and stay out of that mess. Because it's tough coming through the field. Especially at Washougal, it looked a little hard to pass, so he wasn't able to move through quite as well. But yeah, so I guess we'll see when they come back this weekend at Unadilla, and if he fixes that issue.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think, like, well, he's so hyped up, and he's proven that he has a lot of speed and he has a lot of talent, but just getting the bad starts have, you know, really killed him. But you know, same with Hunter. Hunter's on screen right now on the TV or on iPad, and him too. Like, he's shown a lot of speed this year, but he's just had some, you know, bad starts and everything. And where's he at in here? He went 5-10 for 7th overall at Washougal.
Yeah, which we're watching on the screen is his replay of him falling. Oh. So, yeah, he slid out in the shadows there, which that's like right before the finish line. There's a little sun, and then coming down a little bit of an off camber into the shadows, and you just, you know, you get on the throttle a little too much in that hard dirt, and you just spin around backwards. So, yeah, I was definitely, for the sake of the championship, pulling for Hunter to try to get close the gap up and make it, you know, a three-rider fight for the championship. It's always more interesting when you're on the edge of your seat watching and kind of, I'm more or less rooting for a tight, close points hunt more than anything. Like the 450 class, I'm a Roczen fan, for sure, but just for the sake of the championship, want, you know, Roczen to be close or whoever to be close to Ferrandis. He's been killing it, and this makes it more interesting. Like in the GPs right now, it's pretty close racing over there, which makes that pretty entertaining.
Right as we watched Hunter, right as you started to talk, it was that section, like right where he crashed, is when they're in commercial break, I think right after the last 450 moto, or I don't know if they did the 450 moto first, I forgot. Anyways, whatever the last moto of the day was, and they had that on, and you know how they don't have commercials, they had that just that one camera shot facing that section, and there's this RV there, and there's a group of guys, and one guy was on lookout, and the other guy stole the banner that was lining the track. I noticed that, and I noticed a couple other people on Racer X's Instagram or Facebook was commenting that, and like everyone was dying laughing, but I don't know if that the word really got out there, because I just found it funny. I'm like, is anyone else seeing this or rolling up this? I think it was a Red Bull banner, like one of those huge ones right there. Yeah, right there.
Ooh, a Red Bull one too. Those are those, like Red Bull, it's hard to get on any sort of signage from them or shirts or anything. They're sticklers about that. You have to be like an athlete or somewhat important to wear any sort of Red Bull clothing like that, usually. So yeah, to get a sign, a banner like that, I'm really curious if anything happened.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I hope they get in trouble. But I was just laughing at it because it took them 5 minutes of like looking at it, like the whole intermission of just looking at it. And then one guy went out on the track and everyone's, you know, of course, getting ready to leave again, doing whatever, all the workers. And there was no flagger there, obviously. And I just found it so funny, like, watching it. And then one guy's on lookout, the other guys are like rolling off and heading back. I don't know if they were in the RV or the trailer that was there. But I don't know, I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's interesting. Oh, then another thing I kind of forgot to mention, might want to mention, is that first turn pileup, second moto, was pretty darn crazy. If you guys hadn't seen the race, it was some pretty gnarly carnage with, I think Forkner was in there, Shimoda, Jalik was in there. I think those are the big names anyways. There might have been a couple more guys. Privateers in there, but Jalik had a pretty scare. I think he's going to be okay, I believe, and I should be back for Unadilla. And but yeah, it was gnarly. I think either Shimoda or Forkner straight over the bars in the middle of the field. So that's another important reason why you want to get a start in front of all that mess too. But
yeah, I'm not sure who went over the bars, but yeah, I saw that. And just, I know Forkner came back. Don't know. I think it was Shimoda, because Shimoda, I think, was buried further back in the first lap.
Yeah, well, Shimoda had a pole in the pits.
Oh, yeah, he did, too.
And then, he was, like, a lap down. I think he was a lap down battling in the top five, like, passing dudes around sixth or seventh, you know, being, like, unlapping himself, so to speak, which is pretty interesting to watch and see that. But, unfortunately for him, those passes didn't mean anything. Like, but I guess it's... you're still running up there.
That has to be weird. Like obviously, if he's faster, you have the right to unlap yourself. But then again, if you pass him and get in their way, you're a lapper. Like, should you move out of the way like that? I don't know. It just seems really weird. But
it'd be a tough situation for sure.
Then he caught up to 23rd. Or I thought 23rd, but I heard Chase Wygant said 24th. But anyways, either still way, right up there. That's a heck of a ride by him.
It sucks that you do all that work and then not even get a point. That's, I've had a couple motos like that where be down on the first turn or something dumb and had a pull in the pits and charged all the way back up and got 21st. So it's like, sweet. I did all that work for no points, you know, but it is what it is. The name of the game.
I think a lot of people are expecting him to pull off because, well, first off, it was a gnarly crash, and second off, like, he was laying, or not laying there, but he was, you know, between that and getting up and everything and going into the pits, he was there forever. So, yeah, like you said, he was a lap down. So it was the point. But, yeah, he almost caught up. So I guess he could have potentially got points, but still, like, maybe, what, one, two. But yeah. I guess, you know, never give up. But
yeah, for sure. It's good to see guys like that, especially for fantasy sometimes. You know, just finishing, even if you're out of the points, is you know, good in fantasy. If anyone plays Paul Hemex, I know I play a little Paul Hemex fantasy, and I've been a killer sometimes, especially last year. I had a lot of DNFs. But yeah, it's a fun game where guys like that charging through the pack and not pulling off is cool for that sake, I guess. But yeah, so I don't know if you want to move on to the 450 class.
Well, right before we move on, we were talking about Jeremy earlier, and Do you see him launching that wall? Like, his wrist is all messed up, his fingers too. And he was launching that wall, I think, well, I'm not sure, but I think it was further than anyone, or if not up there, of sending it, which I was surprised because, you know, you'd think he'd be taking it easy on that thing.
That's what watching him ride right now, like, I don't see how he can go any faster if he wasn't hurt. Like, I'm honestly almost thinking, like, those x-rays are fake. Like, I doubt he'd do that. But just the way he's riding right now, it's like, how can you ride? When I saw the picture of the x-rays and, you know, his fingers are pretty badly broken. And, you know, and then his issue with his shoulder and his scaphoid, which I've broken my scaphoid before. And before Loretta's 2013, and I still raced Loretta's. I won 2 championships. So you can, you know, still race with a broken scaphoid. Then down the line, you'll have to get surgery to get it fixed, which ended up happening to me. But all those other laundry list of injuries, it's pretty insane, especially when you're launching off a wall to flat like that. Is not too easy on the wrists, that's for sure, and the shoulders.
Like, just so, everything.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone wrote them off, and just to be running up there with all those guys are insanely fast, and then to be launching stuff like that, it's like just a huge eye-opener for me. Like, that dude's gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, he's not playing it safe or anything. He's just going after that title still. Like, he's...
Yeah, before he got hurt, you know, he's, like, my opinion, kind of like a man amongst boys in the figurative, talking about the championship and his experience. And he's been in the 250 class for a decent while, and the championships he's had. I mean, you were seeing it. He was riding really well. Also, Jet was riding good too, beginning of the year. And then he had that unfortunate crash at Thunder Valley. And I mean, I honestly, like I said, I never thought he'd be back. And let alone he's picking points away. And it's still mathematically within reason. It's very highly doubt it's going to happen. But I mean, I give him props for still racing and pushing through the pain and winning races. And I say it's worth it if you're up there on the podium winning races, for sure.
Yeah, collecting more checks and everything. And plus, I just don't think he'd want to be out. I know there's a lot of people gunning down for that star ride. And obviously, he's a proven rider, though, but still. But looking at the points, he is 61 points down from Cooper there in first place. And third place right in front of Jeremy. Jeremy's in fourth. Is Hunter Lawrence with 237, so he's 17 points down. So he's not too far down from a podium spot, which is amazing. What did he miss? That second moto, the round he got hurt, and then the whole next round, right?
Yeah,
it was a Red Bud. Or
yeah, he missed High Point.
High Point. Then oh yeah, he raced Red Bud.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Southwick was miserable, but
yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, he's. I mean, be on the podium for sure. That's within reason. What have you got? 5 more rounds left.
Yeah. So.
Is that right?
Yeah. 10 more motos.
Yeah, you can easily get on the podium. The championships, yeah, that's pretty far out there. But, you know, as you saw, or as we talked about earlier, or if you watched the race with Justin Cooper about ending his season, you know, going up the hill there on the Horsepower Hill when he swapped out there, you know, like, unfortunately, this is the name of the game, and it can happen. And I don't wish that upon anyone, for sure, but... And I'm sure Jeremy doesn't want that to happen, but, you know, if it does, he's out there racing and got himself in that position to take advantage, for sure.
Yeah, just love that attitude of, like, never give up and going after it, because him and Cooper and Jet are pretty far out there, so he's going to need a miracle and a lot of good luck on his side of, like, winning motos and everything, but still, just to be up there is crazy with everyone up there, but I think that's pretty much it. In the 250 class, Mosman is out in Unadilla. What else is going on there? What do you have to say about RJ Hampshire? He's been the talk of the pits the last month or so, or over the last month.
Yeah, he sends it, dude. That's for sure. I was really impressed with his Washougal ride. The fact that, like, that's probably the easiest track to lose the front or do whatever the dumb mistakes he's been doing. And he didn't really make any of them, so that was very surprising. And I heard Zach Osborne's working with the Husky team a little bit, being he's not racing right now. So he's been helping RJ and who's the other guy, Jalik, and, you know, Styles a little bit. on different things, but yeah, I from Iron Man last year, I was racing and I was up around top 10 and battling, and RJ happened to, he got a bad start and he had passed me and was all over the place, and I was like behind him like, dude, this guy's gonna crash, like, just, you know, sending it. And sure enough, he just wadded up so hard right in front of me, and I was like, I went by like, dude, I saw that crash happening like 15 feet before it happened, you know, you could have saved it. But you know, he's just, I give him props for sending it, but I think if you had smoothed out a little bit, it'd be a little better. And like I said, whatever he did at Washougal, if he can carry that on the rest of the season, you know, I'd be a threat for wins for sure. I think he's kind of out on the championship, I believe.
Yeah, he's actually behind Martin. He's like a couple points.
Oh, really?
He's 50 at 205, so he's 15 points down from Martin. He's in fifth right now, so yeah. He needs more of a miracle than
Martin. Yeah, he's out. He's not winning championship, but he could be a spoiler for sure and be a guy to help a guy like Jeremy or Jad or Hunter, you know, gain some points on Cooper. And, yeah, keep the series interesting for sure.
He's been insane. Was it Red Bud that he crashed like a million times, but then he caught back up the jet or whatever in the second motor. It's like, holy crap, just the speed that guy has.
Yeah.
The catch up, and Jet's, I think we all know Jet is, he's hyped up and like he's the next best thing. And what's his face? Daniel Blair saying he's a generational talent. And he caught him pretty quick and ended up going down again. So that sucks. But yeah, I think that's it for the 250 class. I don't think there's anything else. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
I think you pretty much covered generally everything. I guess we'll move on into the 450 class.
Yeah.
There's plenty to talk about there, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, who came with the way all Sexton did. Sexton got the win, I think, and
yeah. He went 1-3, I think. Martin went 3-1. I think Sexton went 1-3.
Yeah, 1-3. Was it Ferrandis? No, Tomac got second. Ferrandis got third, I believe.
Yeah, 1-3 for Sexton. Tomac in second with 2-2. Then Ferrandis with a 5-1. Then Marvin actually rode pretty good.
Yeah, Marvin. That first moto, I think it was, I thought he was, like, if he would have got a better start, I think he could have won that moto. The way he was riding, it was like the old Marv. I watched qualifying a little bit and saw him riding good, and I was stoked to see another player, you know, up in the top, up front, making it more interesting. And but I'm stoked for Chase. He finally, talking about starts, he got himself two good starts, and you can see the difference from, you know, previous results till then. He won the first moto like pretty effortlessly, and second moto was challenging for him just to hold on to get third, but it was a great ride. He managed to slow Tomac down enough to keep him from catching Ferrandis and getting around Ferrandis, which got him the overall. So some good racing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was surprised Roczen, like, he was right there on him, on his rear wheel, and he just couldn't do anything. He ended up dropping back to, I don't know where he ended up, like, I have it. Anyways, he went down pretty far. I'm kind of curious, where did he finish?
Yeah,
damn it. 6-10, so he went back to 6 in the first moto there.
Yeah, well, first, did he go back, or did he catch up to 6? I think he had a bad start first moto.
Well, I thought it was the first,
the second moto, I think, is he dropped like a rock.
Yeah, the second
moto. No. You're right. You are right. I'm wrong. Yeah, the first moto, he was right behind Chase. And he got a second place start behind Chase. And I thought Kenny was going to get him. Then he kind of dropped like a rock back to sixth. Second moto, I think he got a bad start. Sorry. It's a little old for us. We should be better at this. But
yeah, when I came over, I'm like, well, Shugo, I'm trying to like remember. Bringing up the highlights.
We would have did it earlier, but I dropped the ball on that, so I apologize. But I was pretty bummed for the sake of the championship for Kenny. But I heard, I think on social media or something, he had some sort of sickness. The flu or some sort of cold. I don't think anything too crazy. But yeah, he was a little under the weather, and then also his crash from Millville on the first turn.
That brought so many haters. Like, even though he had that gnarly crash just from posting that he was sick, like.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard. It's you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's what, like, exactly what I said in the last episode. I was talking to Tom, the co-host, and he was saying, like, I said that same thing. It's like, what do you do as a rider? Do you post something and let your fans know and everyone else know so we're not in the dark? Or do you just keep quiet? Like, either way, you're going to get, like, just destroyed on social media in the comment section.
I like Adam. He's really good with that. He says it how it is. Even Kenny's good too, but Adam says how it is, but he says it in a good way. You know, he never really makes the issue the excuse too much. You know, he just says, this is what I'm dealing with. You know, like, I got to do the best that I can do, he just says it well, and I try to imitate that. What I'm saying, it's hard to be open, you know, because it's private stuff, but you got to explain why you rode like crap, because everyone's just gonna make up their own reasons why you rode like crap and did bad. So if you don't say anything, then you're gonna get all these people trying to figure out why you rode like crap and spreading the rumors, I guess, or you just say it is what it is. And I kind of feel bad for the people, those keyboard warriors, so to speak, that, you know, hate on the people for, I mean, I don't really give it an excuse. It's more or less a reason and explaining why he did the way he did, you know, and you obviously could tell there was something wrong because the moto before, he killed it, you know, at Millville. So it's, definitely something was wrong. I mean, anyone could see that.
And, like, it's not even fair for him. Like, every little update gets just trashed on social media, people talking crap. But, like, going back to his arm injuries, people giving him crap. It's like, that's, like, the most insane thing that that's happened in moto in a long time. And he's being, like, really transparent and everything. And, okay, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Still having issues. Then he had that sickness last year. I don't know if he's still dealing with it. And they're still going after him. It's like,
I think he had two career-ending arm injuries. Both of them were super severe. And then I think his issue isn't something that was going to go away, the sickness that he had. I think it's more or less learning to manage it. That's just what I believe. I'm not, you know, that's what I've heard here and there. I don't know if it's fact. But, it's pretty unfortunate for him to have to be going through that stuff. And especially for the sake of the championship, you know, I want to see the Kenny on his A game, Eli, Dylan, you know, all the dudes on their A game. So it's, you know, more entertaining for us, right? And see more of a battle. And that's what you want to do. You want to be entertained. And so when I'm watching a close race, I get like an adrenaline race myself, you know. That's why I think a lot of us watch races, you know. That's when I miss the race on Saturday, I'm like plugging my ears whenever someone says anything about the race, you know. I don't want to see it till I watch it. It takes that excitement away. But yeah, and I guess we're going to go from there. But
I guess we can go on the Tomac. Tomac's been, I don't really know what to think about him. Obviously, I don't know what's going on with him, but just as a fan, fan's view on this, it's like, we all know he gets bad starts, but like, even his speed this year, like, he was incredibly fast at Millville, all over the back of Dylan. I forgot what exactly what moto scores he got there, but anyways, he's just been so hot and cold this year.
He went 3-4 or something, I believe.
Yeah, because he caught up to the back of the star battle, the star whatever.
Well, when he caught up to Dylan and Barshow and they're battling first moto. I think he went 3-4.
Oh, yeah.
Because Chase got third, second moto.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I'm not sure. There's a lot of opinions on him. But the beginning of the season, I don't know exactly what was wrong with him, obviously. That's the instance of someone who did not saying anything. He definitely had something going on. And I know from experience, bike setup can be a big effector, and some people, like myself, I'll be honest, let it affect them more than it should, and that could be some of it. And I know now that I believe Tomac is maybe not the best Tomac, but his speed's back, I believe. I mean, we saw a little bit at Millville first moto coming from 30th to 3rd, and I think if the track was a little bit easier to pass, he could have been, you know, possibly even won that moto. And so I think his speed's back, but I do believe his fitness isn't the same as it used to be. You know, like that first moto at Millville, you saw him get right up to those guys in the last two laps, like, all right, Tomac's gonna just blow through these guys. He caught him from, you know, 20 seconds back, but he didn't really have much energy to fight. And then the second moto, you kind of saw it in his riding, he wasn't the same guy. So I think his fitness is lacking from his level, you know, comparing him to his best, right? You know, compared to other people, it's different. But same thing with that Washougal second moto ride. Like, it was, you know, pretty darn amazing catching up through, and being in a battle like that, you have to exert a lot more energy than normally. Like, if I was just out there putting in a moto, or out front cruising, or, but he was battling through the pack and then got up to Sexton, and they battled for a while. And then until once he finally got around him, and then he put in some insane laps and caught Dylan.
Yeah, that was so entertaining. I think I was standing up for that one along with Millville when he caught up. Like, that pass he did on Sexton, and he tried doing it on Dylan there in the last lap. Like, oh my god, the dude's on rails.
Yeah, dude, I was like, fingers crossed. Like, I wanted them to get Dylan just because that would have been cool. A cool comeback for sure. And you kind of saw the last lap, he just, the balloon deflated. You know, after that attempt, that pass attempt, then he kind of just, that was all he had. And, you know, the old Tomac, I mean, not, it's a half a lap, and I feel like he could have kept pushing and to right to the checkered. But yeah, I think he is back. I don't think you'll see a 10-11 like you did at Thunder Valley, whatever that was. I feel like he's back to, like I said, not the best Tomac, but you're not gonna see him, I don't think, too far off the podium. Even if he's off the podium, you know, I'm rooting for him to. I think he's way too far out on the championship. I don't know what he's back right now, but
yeah, insane amount, I believe. I can pull it up.
Yeah, I think he's like 47 or something. Like, I think he's just under two motos.
He is 249. Dylan with 303. So what's that? 54.
Yeah, shoot.
So that's what? Is that two motos, yeah, and four points?
54. Yeah, that's pretty far. That's pretty far. But I mean, it'd be cool to see him, you know, just make it a battle right now in the end. That would be pretty darn cool. But Dylan, he's been solid. Like, you got to give him props.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's I think surprised pretty much everyone. He's even surprised himself. I think I remember that the first podium. He's like, he was so shocked that he won the overall. Yeah. And it was cool seeing that expression on him. And,
yeah, I gained a lot of respect for him and became a fan. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of Americans, when foreigners come over, they kind of not hate him, maybe, and just don't root for him. Always kind of rooting against him. But ever since that, and listening to his interview on Pulp, I just gained a lot of respect for him. I kind of became a fan of him because he was saying in that Pulp interview, he was saying the same thing. He's like, I'm surprised when I was battling with Tomac. You know, it's like, normally those guys are like really cocky and they're like, you know, saying they belong up there, and he's like, I'm surprised. It's like, holy crap, I don't know. Yeah. Found it kind
of
funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a fan of those guys, you know, and he has respect for them, and he knows that this isn't his, you know, his territory, I guess. I don't know what exactly word I'm looking for, but just, you know, when talking a little bit about how, like, the fans are, you know, like, he understands that the fans don't want to root for him, because, you know, they want to root for Eli, because he's, you know, he like said, you know, if Eli came to France, you know, and Eli took out, you know, the top France guy at the time, you know, all the France fans are going to be booing the crap out of Eli and hate Eli because, you know, that's their hometown guy, you know, so to speak. So he understands it, and, you know, I like that. And how devoted he is to racing and how much effort he puts in is, yeah, you gotta have respect for that for sure.
I just like his riding style and just on how he goes after. Like, he's not afraid to be up there and
don't know, it's different. Like, I like watching Chase ride and Chase and, like, the riding style of Chase and Jet, but just Dylan, how, just, I don't know, that raw speed he has of, if he's in a battle, he's, you know, he's not afraid to go after you, pretty much.
Yeah, he rides that 450 like a 250, which, to do that, you have to be so strong, so in shape, and then to be able to do that for, you know, 35 minutes, yeah, it's, he's definitely put the work in, you know, and you gotta respect that. It, you know, if I get, if you don't like Dylan, I never was a fan of him too much till, like I said, recently, and, you know, I don't mind him. I don't want him, to be honest. I don't want him to win the championship, but I think he's got the championship to lose, so to speak. You know,
no, he's a huge lead.
Yeah, he's got a big lead. I haven't seen too many kinks in his armor. Like, what, Millville, that second moto, he crashed twice and got fifth or something like that. You know, it's like, yeah. So bad, like a bad start, crashes twice, ends up fifth. You know, so how, it's hard to make up too many points on that guy when your worst moto is in fifth place, and that was the first time off the podium. You know, he's on the podium pretty much every round.
Which
I think he still ended up third overall, I believe.
Yeah, he was on the podium.
Still up third overall there. You know, and yeah, he still ends up third. So that's gonna be a hard man to beat, that's for sure.
And like I said, I became a fan of him, but at Millville, when he crashed, I'm like, yeah, please stay down for a second. Like, I didn't want him to be hurt or anything, but I just wanted the points to be closer because I have him up right now, and he's at 303, like I said earlier. But Roxon's in second at 256, so he's 7 points ahead of Eli. But everyone else is just so far down from Dylan. It's like, the racing's so good in the 450 class, but the points absolutely suck, and they're so, like, so far spread apart. Like, they're pretty close in the top five besides Dylan, but Barsha's there in fourth. He's hurt. They just announced that he's not racing in Unadilla. He might be back for whatever round is after that. Chase is there, but then drops down to Plessinger, and he's another guy I want to talk about. But yeah, for the championship wise, they're just so far out of it. Like, he has to, like, DNF a moto. Even if he DNFs a moto, he still has, like, a 29-point lead.
He can DNF another moto. Can DNF another moto, and Roxon can go 1-1, and Dylan cannot show up the weekend and still have a 10-point lead.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
It's crazy. And, like, the stuff he's doing, like, I was at Red Bud watching, and he got a bad start, one of the motos, or maybe even both of them. I don't know. I can't remember. But he's down. Had to be right outside of the top five, and there's a bunch of those top guys up there and getting good starts. It's like, okay, he's not going to pass all of them, and sure enough, he catches
all the way up to Tomac.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? Like, just, like I said, mad respect for him for what he's doing right now, but him and that whole star team's been killing it, both 250 and 450. It's kind of been funny over the last couple of years, everyone talking crap about the Yamaha 450s, and Star took over the 450 factory efforts this year, and all three of those guys are, yeah, three of them, right? Yeah, Plessinger, mm-hmm. Craig, and Ferrandis are killing it this year. And a couple of motos, I believe, all three of them were in the top five.
Yeah,
just insane.
Yeah. But yeah, that's impressive. And the bike, you know, the platform hasn't changed, you know, last year to this year. But yeah, I think Yamaha, the factory Yamaha, they tried keeping the bike more stock. You know, they had more restrictions on what they could do, hearing things from people. So it was harder to get the bike where they wanted it. Where Star, they're like, you know, Yamaha is a supporting Star, and Star can do whatever they want. You know, obviously within regulations and the rules, but so they took a lot of weight out of it and did a lot of work to it. And yeah, like as you're seeing, those guys are doing really well on them. And you know, it's cool having that. A whole other team step up like that. That's more players in the game and makes it a little more interesting to watch. So it'll definitely be interesting next year with Eli going to blue, which is going to be super weird getting used to.
Oh my, yeah, I see all the Photoshop pictures up on Instagram and all over social media, and it looks so weird. I don't know. He hasn't been on Kawasaki for too long. It feels like a while though, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. Let's say Ferrandis wins the title. He has the number one plate in the outdoors, and then Tomac's there. That's gonna be really weird under the tent there at Star. I don't know, just they might sweep the podium a few rounds if they. Well, heck, Plessinger is rumored to leave. Yeah, who knows what's going on with that?
Yeah,
I've heard both sides of the.
Yeah, It changes every week. It's the same thing with Barcia deal last year to GasGas or Yamaha. But I think he's going to KTM. It's hard to, if you got that offer on the table, it's hard not to. But the one person that this could possibly not work for is Plessinger, I believe. The way he's, you know, kind of the happy-go-lucky dude, you know, like not that corporate kind of guy where when you think of KTM, you think of corporate, like business, you know, kind of attitude. And so it's going to be interesting, him going to Eldon's, if that all happens. It's going to be a rude awakening, which obviously you could see in his racing. He puts in the work, you know, already, but the Eldon program is what I hear is pretty monotonous, like a lot of repetition that just, it gets you burnt out fast. Yeah. Let alone the workload, you're just doing the same stuff over and over again, and part of the reason why you guys see guys want to leave and or guys retire soon or at younger ages is they just kind of get burnt out of the same thing over and over again. You could see it does work for a lot of people, and so yeah, like you saw with Cooper, and who knows, like Plessinger, he could have a good uptake. You know, I guess we'll see what happens next year and what he ends up on. But
yeah, Cooper's rumored to leave, right? Or did he already leave Aldens?
I think he already left Aldens. Yeah, there's.
Oh, he went the Moto Sandbox, right? Or the wherever Roxon's at.
83 compound.
Yeah, 83. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, he was there, which I was kind of surprised he did that mid-season. I was really surprised. Like, I figured he would run the outdoors and then switch, but obviously something's not working. And whether it's just online, on RacerX said he was hurt or something, but so he could have some sort of lingering injury going on here. But two, if you're not having fun, and you know, it's like you're just dreading going to work every day, a change up might be good for him, you know. And,
yeah,
I mean, you could see his results were getting a little bit better, and he was starting to ride a little bit better, so maybe that was that change was helping. And I'm really curious after this 3-week break here who shows up, a new person at Unadilla, because you know, guys like, you're watching on the screen right now, a little thing on Dean Wilson, he's battling lots of injuries, so these few weeks give him a chance to kind of recover, rehab those injuries a little bit, and get a little bit better, and hopefully, you know, end up doing a lot better the last five rounds of the season. So I think there's a good chance of seeing a lot of changes. You know, I believe the top guys are still going to be there. That's going to be no change, but I think you have other guys who are battling things that maybe you don't know, or you know, they're battling through. You're going to see them have a good uptake, and could be even more guys towards the front. So definitely curious for this weekend for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And normally it seems like everyone's busy out in, you know, the summertime, not be able to watch it live, which sucks because everyone's on Instagram. And like you said earlier, you have to like plug your ears, close your eyes if you're on Instagram or whatever, because it's not as fun watching it. But yeah, that's these fans. I don't know if they stole it right now, but on the screen of the thing I was talking about with the banner. But I think this, yeah, in between motos there. But anyways, I wanted to say that Cooper, like, out of all the guys, he's how he is. You think he would be the last one, at least I think he would be the last one to leave Aldon. No, and not like he's some, I don't know, I could be wrong, but yeah, I'm the outside looking in.
Yeah, I know a little bit more things, like how he kind of was, and he kind of likes to have a good time, and he's not a huge fan of that hard work. You know, like he needs someone on, like he'll do it. He obviously will do the work. But I've heard he needs to have someone yelling in his ear basically to do the work, or how it's been. And, so he's just probably just getting burnt out of it, like I said, and, wanting a change of pace and a change of scenery. And I know I heard that Zach wanted to leave too, Eldon's, and, at one point, but I don't think Zach's going anywhere. I think he's going to stay at Eldon's and possibly Marv, you know, Marv would be there, and then if RJ's still there, and shoot,
isn't the whole
comes back and
the whole 250 team or not? Yeah. Is it Rocks that the whole 250 Husqvarna team there? Or is...
Yeah, the Husky team, and but it's different. They're not only RJ trains with the 450 guys. There's kind of like two groups.
Oh, isn't there a different trainer that now?
It was Brown at one point. I think it might be Brown. Mike Brown. Possibly. I'm not sure. And once it was... Seth Rarick.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking. Yeah,
but now he's the team manager for Star, which that was surprising. But yeah, there's like Dino. Jess Pettis was there over the winter. And Jalik, Styles. Like, that was their own group. And then you had, you know, Osborne, Cooper, RJ, Marv was like the other group. So they kind of traded times on the track, so they weren't at the track at the same time. I mean, Alden does those other guys' program too and oversees it, but he's not with them. Like, he's with the group one, so to speak.
Yeah, in their ear bugging them. I was watching that Ryan Villopoto CBS thing from, like, 2013. It popped up on my YouTube feed, on my TV at home when I was doing something the other day, and it was funny because it was all in RV's ear about whatever workout he was doing, and he was like, okay, if you can do, or he was like, if I do 100 push-ups, can we not go to the gym today? He ended up doing 99 and collapsed and didn't get his 100, so they went to the gym, but I didn't realize how much RV, I don't know how you want to put it, like hated it or just, I don't know, hated the process of just that hard, intense work. Like, he was, it seemed like he was burnt out of it.
Yeah, he didn't like, from hearing things, he didn't like work. He didn't like the work, but he did it. But he needed Alden, you know, on him to do the work, which it's a lot of work. And, you know, like, a guy like RV, who's kind of open about it, and he kind of just happened to be good at it, you know, like, he didn't really want it, like, when he was racing amateurs, like, when young, he wasn't like, I want to be a pro racer when I'm older. And he just happened to be good at it, and went along with it, and obviously worked out for him. Won a lot of races, made a lot of money, and
As we get going, it's like, oh, I want to talk about this. Oh, what the heck? Okay, I have to keep an eye on this segment time, too. Last week, I didn't have the cutoff, which this week we do. We have to make a new one if we get to it. But anyways, with Alden, so it's going to be interesting with the bike, with Plessinger, if he goes to KTM. That's like the legendary team now, which is crazy. Think about 20 years ago, KTM definitely wasn't the bike to be on, but now it is. And if being with Alden, that would be, seems like a dream. But with everyone leaving, that's, you know, that's interesting, because whatever Plessinger is doing on Star right now is working. He's obviously doing really good. And Supercross, he was coming out doing really good. And I don't know about surprising people. Maybe, like, since the bad, 2 years on the previous factory Yamaha team. So that'll be interesting. What else I want to touch on? A couple other things in the 450 class. Tomac.
Want to talk about Triumph or anything like that?
Oh, I forgot about that. I keep on getting all these ideas. I'm like, keep on forgetting them. But yeah,
we'll go to that and then maybe talk about Unadilla or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That the so yeah. What I mentioned, the Triumph new brand, I guess, so to speak, gonna be making dirt bikes now. So that'll be very interesting. I think RC is, you know, working on helping them develop the bike, and I heard rumors that, you know, maybe JGR having a team again and being Triumph JGR or whatever.
That would that would look so weird, but yeah. I'm all for it.
Oh, dude, I'm all for it. So I heard that there is a bike that they're riding at supposedly Tedesco and RC Road outdoors and Supercross on it. So if that's the case, they're pretty far down the line, which I'm pretty surprised.
And that's what I was hearing.
First time hearing about it, and they're already got a bike, and supposedly it's not like a KTM remake, so, which is really cool. You know, it's really exciting what Triumph can bring, and hopefully it goes well, because that'll be sweet having all their manufacturer, all their team, and in the sport, would be pretty sweet.
And just bringing more stuff and money and just new faces to the sport. And I was hearing, I forgot who it was, but someone talking about back in like 05-ish when Ricky and James were racing, just all the money that was there in the sport before the, you know, the crappy year of 2008 and how we don't have that now. But now we have the insanely stacked field and, you know, it's looking like it's trending upwards. You know, there's more outside sponsors like Twisted Tea getting in. And I heard the one of the guys at Twisted Tea, I forgot what position he's there. He's in charge of the off-road and marketing and whatever. Action sports or what, I don't know. Anyways, he was saying how he loved Moto and it was like a perfect spot for him. So I'm really pumped that not only are they sponsoring the team, sponsoring some of the rounds, but they're actually like all for it. And it seems like they're all in the potentially do more, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, just cool to see more teams and or more sponsors and, you know, more teams with that coming in Triumph. But
and then yeah, I think
this would be sick.
Yeah, and I heard Beta might have a team too. I don't know if you heard about that, but well, they have they have Van Horbeck racing the GPs right now. I don't know how he did this past weekend, but I know the couple rounds ago anyways, he was, you know, right around top 10 on a Beta, so and it's that's pretty interesting. And I know I have a kid I know in California, he's been riding Betas and, you know, doing money motors and stuff out there on them and been doing pretty well. And I heard that Van Horbeck really likes the chassis. Like, he's stoked on the chassis. It's just the power isn't the greatest. So it'd be interesting if we end up another a beta team. So if we get two teams the next 2 years, have two more teams or more two more manufacturers, not just teams, but manufacturers, that opens the door for two factory teams and then maybe some satellite teams too, branching out to other people, you know, like giving some of the smaller teams a little more help. And, you know, as you see, like Yamaha has their star and then they have Club Max and Rock River and stuff. It's cool if Triumph did something like that too, or Beta. So that'd be definitely, the future is, I think, looking bright for Moto. So
yeah, I was watching a little bit of Loretta's and really good racing in that. I don't want to touch on that quite yet, but just talking about how, you know, the future being bright and hopefully those teams can get more sponsors in. I know GGR was having a difficult time getting a title sponsor back in whatever year that was, like 2 years ago. So hopefully they can get a title sponsor, and it seems like Monster's the title sponsor of like every team almost. But yeah, so talking about Club, they got the I Am a Comeback is one of the main sponsors. Cool to see another outside company entering the moto world. And that Club team seems to be doing great every year. Just love to see how much progress they're making and how much, you know, bigger they're getting and more competitive.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I've been on the team since like kind of the reincarnation. They had a team back, 2011 maybe, somewhere around there, is a while ago. Vince Freese was on it, and Jay Sowen, and a couple guys. But they since they kind of refired it up again, it was 2018. We were on KTM's. It was me, Osby, and unfortunately I got hurt. But yeah, from that year it was like pretty bare bones, and we raced Canada for half of the year and Supercross for half the year. It was then the next year they tried joining with Traders, and that kind of did not mix very well. It was, you know, you got two different teams, two different ideas kind of blending in, and it just didn't blend right. And also the same year where Yamaha did a big chassis change, so it was like really tough and then parts weren't available, and yeah, it was very challenging. And I myself was not gelling with the bike. I did horrible, and in Supercross I did five mains, didn't make any mains, and yeah, I was struggle busting on that for sure, and ended up getting injured. But then they went up to Canada for the summer, and then last year it was a big step in the right direction. They kind of split from Traders, and redid the program and got some more sponsors and, you know, twisted, got the motor. Like, the bike was probably the best non-factory bike out there for sure. And I was able to get really good starts on it. It was pretty cool to go from not making mains to, you know, ripping top five starts and battling up front and battling in the, I mean, I was in second for a long time in one of the mains. It's Arlington.
I was watching that the other day.
Last year, yeah, that was
a good race.
Oh man, that was pretty sick. I was super bummed to get hurt then, but yeah. And then last year they didn't do outdoors or anything, but this year was even more sponsors, bigger team. You know, they had four riders for Supercross and you know, all main event contenders and top 10 contenders really, and then Garrett battling for podiums. And I firmly believe and was confident in myself that, I know Jace was too, that we could have been on podium too, especially the previous year. And I had, you know, more experience under my belt, a little more prep, and unfortunately just had some bad luck and dumb mistake and crash, and I was out. But it's cool seeing them continue on into the outdoors and doing well with Garrett. And unfortunately Phil got hurt, but yeah, it's pretty cool. Every year they're growing, and I know that Yamaha wants to step up and give them more support. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I hope that they can keep it going. And I don't know if I'll be on the team next year. I just had a 1-year deal, but I know for sure that Garrett and Owen will be on the team again for next year. And I think Nick Dury most likely will be too. Yeah, so we'll see. And if I got on it, if I don't, you know, it is what it is. I understand. I haven't done too many races for him the past couple of years. I've been injured so much, so I'm trying to get things squared away so I can limit those injuries. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like what they're doing. Do they have a full-on amateur team, or are they just supporting a couple of those guys?
No, they kind of do have an amateur team. It's not like Team Green, but it's, you know, growing. And this is kind of, they did a little bit last year, kind of, sort of. And then this year they stepped it up a little bit more. They unfortunately, their A and B rider got hurt. Which, you know, Wyatt Liebeck and Russ Chapman. Yeah, they both got hurt. So Brandon Shear, the one of the trainers there, who's filling in for me, actually, a couple of the outdoors.
He's been doing good.
Yeah, he raced Loretta's and ended up getting hurt, but still muscled through to get some point, or do decent. But yeah, it's cool seeing what they're doing, and I hope Yamaha will step up and get them more support. And you know, it's cool having a team based out of a training facility like that. And I like their kind of model, and what they're trying to do is pretty cool. So
that's pretty cool. Continue with all that, but then plus they have that, I don't know his name, but that PW50 rider.
Yeah,
like his kit looks so sick on those old school looking PW50s, and I think he did pretty good at Loretta's too. So that has to be so cool to be like on this pro, you know, the amateur side obviously, but to be on a big team, and he has to be what, like 5 years old, 4 years old on PW. Yeah. So just to be
five
on
or six, yeah,
doing that, it has to be just, I don't know, like the coolest thing in the world for him.
Yeah, I've seen him riding at club, and it's crazy the fact that he's there at club training. He's not there all the time, but he's there quite a bit. But yeah, he's pretty darn good for being as young as he is. Like, watching him, it's like, dude, the stuff he's doing, like manualing stuff, like jumping bumps and stuff on a PW50, it's amazing. It's just, you know, the future, the sport keeps evolving, and the kids just are getting so good, so young, and younger and younger and younger. It's pretty insane how it is nowadays.
I guess going from there with that transition into talking about the amateurs going into Loretta's, I watched part of it, obviously, with it going all day, every day during the week with work and everything. I couldn't watch that much. Watched some pro sport and everything, but there was definitely a few people that surprised me. Kitchen has been a big name the last couple of years, but he came out of nowhere. I don't think no one was really talking about him before, like, 2019.
Yeah, he Yeah, west, northwestern kid, I guess you can say. I think Washington or something, I believe.
Yeah, said he was from Washougal, Washington.
Yeah, out that way. Yeah, he kind of came out of nowhere, and he's kind of older. Everyone thinks he's a young kid, but I
Yeah,
think he's like 20, 21.
it said he was 20 at Loretto's, and he was battling with Hymas that's 16. And
Yeah,
then just 3 years, Jet just turned 18, so he's 2 to 3 years younger than
younger.
him, which is crazy, and knowing all the experience he's had,
Yeah, so that definitely
recent
helps. I know if I was racing Loretta's, that would have been last year. It would have, well, I guess 2 years ago now. Fuck, I'm getting old. But yeah, it's definitely makes a lot different. Age is, all that extra experience, user experience, and still not taking anything away from him. And we'll see this weekend really what he's made of, and if he can live up to the hype. But I mean, I'm really impressed with Hymas and how well he did, and I was definitely pulling for him, kind of the underdog, so to speak. And Preston Kilroy is another name I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of him. Like maybe
I
if it, like just outside the mix, outside the Jet Reynolds we always hear about since he was on Cobras. Yeah, but Kilroy, I'm like I don't even know his name really. Like,
Yeah, I didn't hear of Kilroy till last year. He raced a few outdoors, and he was scoring the one I was racing, and he was scoring some points, and I'm like, where'd this kid come from, And he's actually, obviously no slouch, so be interesting. I believe he's going pro, or well, he
yeah.
already raced nationals last year, but he'll be at Unadilla.
Mm-hmm.
And was Reynolds there? He wasn't there, was he?
At Loretta's?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there. But
Oh,
we're
he
just
was there.
reaching our segment max. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
If you enjoy gaming and love Moto, you should definitely check out some of the championships on Supercross the Game 4. There's the SX Summer Series, which is on PS4. Then you got the IOMA Series, which is on Xbox and PlayStation, and both of those championships are so good. IOMA has Arena Cross and Supercross, and they have a North American League and a European League. Then the SX Summer Series has their 250 and 450 class, and which is worldwide. And they're both really fun. I've raced in them both, and I can personally say I'd had a lot of fun. And the funny part about it is, I was actually telling Joey this before we started recording this, was for my first IOMA championship race. I remember I was sitting there. Well, I was sitting there in my living room, actually, but I was on the line on the game, and my heart rate, I had my heart rate monitor on, and my heart rate was so high, and it was almost as high as my heart rate when I'm racing. So I just found that super hilarious. The racing is intense, but it's also really enjoyable and a lot of fun. So no matter how fast or how slow you are on the game, you should definitely check it out and just have some fun.
And we're back talking about Loretta's. And like I was saying, Reynolds has been a huge name ever since he was on 50s. I remember watching him back on 50s on the Cobra, and just he was absolutely hauling, and everyone's been talking about him ever since. And I think he got hurt at Loretta's though, but still, like he wasn't the top guy up there. I don't think even before he got hurt, and
Yeah,
he
I think
was
I remember
up there.
seeing his name around like fourth or so, somewhere around there, in a moto or two.
Yeah, I don't know the full story. I watched motos here and there when I could, after work and stuff. But yeah, with him being there and seeing like he was always so dominant there at the ranch before, I thought he was gonna go like 5 out of 6 motos or sweep a full 6 for 6, but he didn't. But yeah, in that pro sport field, Hymas did really good, and I was rooting for him. And yeah, unfortunately, didn't get the title. Kitchen did, but those really good battles with him and Kitchen. But yeah, what to say? So Preston,
Sure.
Kilroy, yeah, and that Barrack Suzuki team. Everyone's knocking on the Suzuki, and he's doing really good. Obviously in the amateurs, but still, like he did really good. And then his teammate in the pros, Dylan Schwartz, has been killing it as well. So I'm really surprised because everyone knows how that bike is, that RMZ 250 and 450, and both of them are doing surprisingly really good. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Kilroy does along with Kitchen this week at Unadilla.
Do you know of anyone else turning pro this weekend, or I don't believe any kind of big names, I don't
No, not
think.
big names that I know of. I could be wrong, but Kilroy, Levi, Stark's so stacked, yeah. Romano staying, going
yeah.
to A.
Yeah, Romano's going to A. He surprised me. Like, he was ripping. He kind of blew that championship in Schoolboy 2. I watched maybe two or three races, and that was one of them I watched, and he had crashed first lap and was way back, but, you know, he managed to catch up, got into fifth, two laps to go. Like that was, you know, he had the championship locked up right there, fifth place. He got the championship, and then last lap fell and dropped back to 10th, ended up third overall. So that was definitely a big blow, but he still won all of the motos in 250B and what got the Amateur Rising Award or Rider of the Year or whatever they're calling it. But so yeah, he definitely was a surprise. I haven't really heard. I mean, I know obviously he's on Star, but so he's got to be good. But I didn't know he's that good or doing that well. So it's cool to see for sure.
Yeah, the team's so loaded in the 450 class, 250, and then dipping down to the amateur class. And they got Matthew LeBlanc, which is hurt. He got hurt, what, like a month ago, I think. And like I said, I haven't been following it too much lately, but it seems like he was doing pretty good too. I could be wrong, but they got him as well. And who else was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, you heard anything on Crockett Myers? I haven't been following it, so, like, I don't know if he's just not up there anymore, but, like, from what I remember, like, on 85s, he was always, like, one of the top guys, if I'm not mistaken.
Crockett Myers? No, I mean, I know the name, but...
Was he off? Like...
Yeah, I know the name, but Once I turned pro, it was, like, I really don't know much anything about the amateurs. So, it's, like, I still picture, you know, Jet Reynolds and, you know, Ryder D, all these kids, like, on 60s, 50s, 80s, you know, like, that's still what's pictured in my mind, but... I'm not familiar with Crockett. Is he what is he riding now?
He's on the EBR Yamaha team.
Gotcha.
He has to be getting up there like 17. Maybe. I don't know how old he is, but he's still riding the good old 125. And I don't think he won the title in Schoolboy 1. I think he got second. I'm not 100% on that though. But yeah, I always thought he was faster. And yeah, pretty much the time you went pro, I used to follow everything and. You know, from the 65s to pro sport, and now, yeah, I don't. The only thing I see is Ryder D on Instagram with the insane amount of followers he has. But, yeah, I always thought he was a little bit faster. Like, still, he absolutely shreds. I saw a video of him. But
could be. Like, I mean, it's. You jump onto those big bikes, it's a different game for sure. You see a lot of guys struggle with that jump, and I don't know what class he's in even now. Is he in the A class now? Is he
beast? Crockett?
Yeah.
Schoolboy 1, and I saw him on a 250 last year, but he was racing Schoolboy 1 this year, which was weird, going back down, so I don't know what his game plan is with that, but...
Probably trying to give himself a chance to stay in B another year, so if he were to race B this year, then he probably would have been bumped to A for next year, so...
That makes sense.
It's probably like he's dropping down, trying to get a championship or do good in some races, but... Yeah.
Yeah, it's another
obviously
team,
didn't
too.
Work for him.
Yeah, unfortunately. Then, what do you think about Loretta's? Every year, everyone talks about it, even though all these kids are racing, or most of them are racing at Mini-O's, Freestone, and every... Like, there's so many nationals all across the country, but Loretta's, like, there's so much pressure on it, and every year, and it's, like, make or break, and, you know, it's, like, 1 week, and... I don't know. I just feel like there's too much pressure on one race.
Yeah, there is. Like, I know a few riders who rode, like, exceptionally well at Loretta's. And they would win championships, you know, do really well at Loretta's, and that would get them a ride. And then the whole rest of the year, they would, you know, not be deserving of that ride. And then, you know, you could see it when they would turn pro and they would, you know, not perform. Well, because they're not racing Loretta's every week, you know.
Yeah.
If a national was Loretta's like last year, like if they would have showed up last year, they probably would have did pretty darn good. Yeah, I kind of wish it wasn't so much hype, which it is getting better, and the teams are noticing other things more. You know, judging more on Monster Cup and different races. But I really, really wish they would make a like an all-star. Sort of like, I don't know, like the GPs, they have this they have the EMX classes, so EMX 250, EMX 125, EMX, you know, 85, 65, which is in women's, it's like a championship within the GPs, MXGPs, alongside of the races. They don't do all the rounds, they just do select rounds, but it kind of, you know, you get an idea of how to manage a championship and riding, you know, the tracks and doing longer motos, and I think it really helps you. That would really help bridge that gap between amateur and pro, which I think it's what we really lack. And they do the 125 races, but that's, to me, it's the money grab. That's, you know, four lap race, like, it's kind of a joke.
Yeah, you don't see that many big names. You might see one, you know, one retired pro and one A class or B class guy.
But it's, yeah, they need, it needs to be 20 minute moto at least, and to be worth anything and time qualifying and make it more legit. And I wish, you know, for outdoor especially too, like, it'd be cool if they did, you know, the after practice they would do like the first moto for an EMX 250, so to speak, or 250 All-Star AB or something, and then in between both motos have their second moto, and that would give us racers a little bit more time to take a breather and recover, because it's, I mean, there's only like 45 minutes essentially from when you finish the first moto to when you got to be in staging, and that's not a lot of time, especially when you're in it. That's the biggest, a really big, you know, from amateur to pro, where amateur, you know, the amateur nationals, you're racing once in the morning, once at night, you know, you're not racing, and they're not even 35 minute motos. You don't race 35 minute motos to your pro, and let alone that you're doing it with such a short break in between. So it'd be cool to do something like that to help a little bit of transition and to be some sort of championship. Because you have all these amateur nationals all over the country, but they're all just, you know, in their own. You know, there's no champion or overall of all these races or whatever, which I think that would be pretty cool if they were to do that.
Yeah. I know they had the women's class in there for a few years. I don't know if they did every round, but, like, we all know how little time they have in between the pro motos. But seeing all the vlogs, and I always hated vlogs, but I gotta admit, I'm a big fan of them now over the last couple of years with Adam. It seems like everyone's doing them, but Adam does a really good one, and I can go on and on. But, you know, when they get in the detail of, okay, they're in the ice bath or whatever, then it's like, boom, their gear's back on, and they're going, and it looked like they just been through hell after the first moment. It's like, yeah, you gotta do that again for another 30 plus two.
And,
yeah, if they added some class, yeah, I think that would be awesome. And just and give the amateurs more of, I guess, not hype, but, like, just more time on a pro track and everything. And
yeah, and make it a 125. It'd be so sweet, 125, like, actual 125 All-Star, like, an actual, you know, racing, have a little bit of a purse every weekend. And they would, if they could make it big enough, then the manufacturers would actually pay attention to it. Have guys like Levi Kitchen and Chance Hymus, like, showing up to these 125 races and going after the championship. That'd be sick. And the fans would be into it. I think it would help the riders develop more. I think it would be really cool if they were to do that.
Yeah, sure, I think there's so many benefits to that. And there's a lot of fans that are even pretty big fans of the sport, and they don't know any of these amateur riders. Like, I remember growing up, I knew everyone, like, okay, you got this guy, he's fast, whatever, then they move pro, you know how fast he is, or whatever. So, not like it's some random name, but now, like, I kind of understand it more while I'm not watching it as much. It's like, okay, who's turning pro? Who's this kid? He's getting top 10, what? Like, Dylan Schwartz. I didn't really hear about him. And, that would just give him, you know, more publicity and getting out there and in front of the fans too, which I know they have a lot on Instagram right now, but still, I think a lot of people are moving up and turning pro, and a lot of people don't know who they are. And and another thing I'm surprised about is Supercross is so big in this country, and they only have, what, the Monster Cup. They got Mini O's, but that's not really like a full-on Supercross track. So it's like, it's kind of funny how every outdoor or every nationals outdoor race, which I know Supercross is gnarly, but still, I think there'd be something else, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, they're They tried doing the Junior Moto X thing, and it's so tough to, you know, cater for all the people. So for them to do an event like that, it would have to be a Monster Cup, where we could be in the program. You have to be, you have to earn your spot. And that would be sweet if they did that a couple rounds a year, you know, had an All-Star 250, All-Star 125, or Super Mini, or 125, or whatever, you know, race in the program. I think that would be really cool, which it's tough, though, because the tracks are so gnarly. Where Monster Cup, it isn't, they don't have a legit whoop section, and it's a little more open, a little more forgiving. It's still gnarly, but it's quite a bit different, Monster Cup, compared to, you know, a regular Supercross race. But yeah, it would be nice if they had something else, because that too, everything, you know, that puts a lot of hype on Monster Cup too, because it's the only real Supercross race.
Yeah, it's like, so, the second Loretta's pretty much.
Yeah, if you do bad there, oh, you must suck at Supercross. And I went there a few years, and, you know, a couple of the years I got really bad starts, and it's hard coming from way back up through the field in a 4-lap race or whatever, 5-lap race, and I just must stink at Supercross. But no, it's not the case. I got really bad starts, or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's hard because people judge, put a lot of faith in that, you know. Or like when Arena Cross was a thing, people put a lot of stack in that too. If you're good at Arena Cross, you'll be good, or if you're not good at Arena Cross, you won't be good at Supercross, or whatever the case is. But
yeah, that's crazy because, yeah, like you said, it's not a normal track. It's really high speed. And Supercross is gnarly enough on its own. And then you got that. And then if you're an amateur, let's say super mini rider, so, what, like 13, 14, 15, then you're trying to hit those high speeds, the battle up front with the top guys, and then hitting those rhythms and everything. Then you got, totally forgot about the amateur stuff, amateur Supercross, whatever they're going to call it.
Futures,
which they didn't have this year because of the good old COVID. But still, that's tamed down, and that's not.
Yeah, and that's almost more dangerous. I've seen more injuries because.
Yeah, true.
The way the tracks are built, you know, they try to dumb them down too much, and then the dudes race them like so hard, they end up crashing and getting squirrely because they're trying to scrub the stuff so hard, and you got a big face, and the jump's only like 20 feet, you know, so. Ends up leading to lots of carnage.
I think that's pretty much it, but there's one thing I forgot to talk about, was that I think it's been talked about a little bit in the motocross community, is Johnny Hopper, that I think he was like a old pro, like a privateer guy. He now runs like a pretty big YouTube channel talking about the races each week, and he talked about Tomac, I think like a month or two ago, saying how he lost his works parts. Yeah. And Steve Mathis was just going ape shit on him on the show. He didn't talk to him in person. I think he said he tried to get him on the show, and he wouldn't hop on there. Hop on. but anyways, yeah, what do you think about that? Not having works parts, like you're doing, like what's Kawasaki gonna do? Like, oh, Tomac, you're getting 10. Let's take away your works parts, you're in trouble, you're in timeout, man.
It's such a joke. I hate people like that, that are all about the clickbait. That's all it is, it's clickbait, and there's no facts to that. That's 110% opinion. And why would Kawasaki want to make their rider look bad? Like, I get he's going to Yamaha for sure, and I'm sure Kawi's bummed about that, but why would they want to jeopardize, Tomac could win a title for Kawasaki. Why would they want to make him look like, you know, because if they were to take his works parts away or whatever and make his bike worse, he goes and does what he does at the beginning of the year in 10-11, whatever. Then he switched to Yamaha and is back to where he used to be, you know, winning races.
True, yeah, obviously.
Like, and then it's going to be like, people are going to be like, oh, Kawi just must stink, you know, Yamaha must be way better. So, like, it's dumb. I hate clickbait. For that reason, just trying to make a buck and spreading rumors like that, and there's a lot of gullible people out there that believe that shit.
Like, so that's, yeah,
it sucks.
Like, that's what Steve was just going crazy on the man, because there's a lot of people that are I forgot what he said. Like, he called it Disability Island.
Yeah, Disability Island.
Believe in that stuff, which is true though, because, well, And then he was thinking, like, let's say I'm a fan of baseball, or like a, I don't know, like, I'm a fan of baseball, but I don't know much. And let's say some big platform, or at least a page that has a lot of followers or subscribers, says something about whatever, some guy, you know, like, you might believe it. Heck, he's a fast guy. He used to be a pro. He used to, he might have made the pro motocross races, the motos, but it's like, come on. And the sad thing in this world is not only motocross, but YouTube wise, that's proven the word clickbait, and just not in general, but how the algorithm works, where that puts it up front, where it's like you can't just do a video
controversy and yeah.
You see that with Deegan a lot too, like the titles of his video, and I've learned that too of posting stuff, and I don't do that, and it's like seeing how that stuff works. It's like it pisses me off a lot, but yeah, I think that was the last thing I wanted to touch on there. But Unadilla, we got Unadilla this weekend. We always do the top three picks, and Tom and I have been doing so bad lately. I forgot who we picked for Washougal. I have it written down back at home, but I think we did horrible again. We've been all over the place, but I'll go first. 250 class, I'm probably going to do horrible again. I don't know. It's so hard to guess with both classes. There's so many fast guys, but I don't even know who to pick. Cooper's from New York, right? So
yeah.
Martin's doing good, though, so I don't even know anymore. I'm going to go with Cooper. Jet, I feel like he's going to do good, but who knows with him anymore. Cooper, Martin, and Jet for the 250 class, I don't know.
Cooper, Martin, Jet. I'll go Cooper, Hunter, Martin. Do a little different. So I think Hunter's going to do good, like that being more of a Euro-style track. I think Hunter's going to do well. And I think Cooper, just being from there, his first race there, he got second in the mud. I think Justin Cooper's going to be a good pick for that race.
Yeah, it's so hard to make picks. Each week we do this, I'm like looking, I'm like, you got RJ, you got Hunter, you got Jet, you got Cooper, now we got Martin back. It's like, oh my God, so many fast guys. But moving on to the 450s, I don't even know with Roxon anymore. Same with Tomac. It's hard to go away from Dylan, though, but who knows, Tomac can, you know, snap of a fingers, be back and dominant. I don't even know anymore when I'm making these picks. I put so much thought into them, and I did so horrible over the last few weeks, or last few rounds.
I got my picks. If you want to think about it for a second.
Sure, yeah.
All right, I'll shoot. I think Kenny's going to come back strong. Kenny's going to clean house at the Dilla. He's going to get some good starts in his style. I think it's going to suit the ruts and stuff how it usually is. And Tomac, I believe, is going to be good. He'll probably win a moto, I'm guessing, but he's going to end up second is what my crystal ball is telling me. And Dylan Franis will be third. And I think that's that.
As you're saying that, I'm like, switching those top three, like any of those guys can win in that top three. I'm like, okay,
you can just press like shuffle. any of those three, you know, variables will work, and then you can put, Sexton up in there, yeah, Plessinger, like, yeah. You know, I was gonna say Barsha, but he's hurt. And Marvin, like he rode really well at Washougal. Like, you can put him in there. You know, there's a lot of guys you can throw up in that top three.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm like, nah, pick Kenny for first. No, Tomac. No, Franis.
Yeah,
I'm
for like, their own reasons, God. They all should win.
I don't even know what to do because my picks are so horrible. But,
just send it.
Pin it. I'm on shuffle. Those three guys.
Just do different for me. So
yeah, that's why I always we try to do different things and still like because you know
maybe one of them will be right.
I go with Dylan getting the win. Tomac or Roxon? Dylan with the win. Roxon second, Tomac third, which I can see. Like I said, I can see Roxon and Tomac for sure being switched, but heck, I can see the whole top three being flipped upside down from that. So I guess that's what we're going with for round whatever it is. I don't even know. Seven or whatever. The 2021 outdoor season, and yeah, it's gonna be a good one. I just wish the points were closer for the 450 class, but still, there should be some good racing in the last 10 motos of the season. So, anything else gonna add in? I think we touched on nearly everything.
Subscribe to me on YouTube.
We almost forgot.
That's all I'll end with. Joey Crown on YouTube. Give it a subscribe. I'm at 999 subscribers at this moment, and almost 1,000 is monetized, so I can make some money.
Yeah, we're just talking about that. I brought that up, and I'm like, you're at 997, and he pulled it up, and he was at 999, and you got to have that in the watch hours, and he does have the watch hours. He just needs that one subscriber. So out of all you guys listening, however many listen to this podcast, one of you guys need, well, heck, all of you should go and subscribe to his YouTube there with the Joey Crown.
I got some cool videos on it. Yeah, I think it's just Joey Crown. And I got a vlog coming out. It's an old vlog, but it's been 2 years in the making. It's good things happen. It's just aging like fine wine, you know. So it'll be good. It's pretty, lots of humor in there. Good clips. Road tripping out to California for Red Bull Straight Rhythm. So yeah, stay tuned for that. I think I'm gonna try to make some time here soon to get that thing finished up and get it up there. I think it's gonna end up being a three part vlog series. It'll be cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the clips, but it sounds like a good one. Red Bull Straight Rhythm, obviously with the two strokes, was really good and entertaining, especially for you too. And then you sweep everything there, so
yeah.
Yeah, definitely check that out when it gets uploaded. And before then, there's a bunch of other clips on there of Daytona, what's it, press day and everything. On there well, so yeah, definitely check that out and
subscribe to Ezra too.
Moto 247. I am far away from being a monetized watch hours are going down since I haven't posted
watching his videos. Watching
I need to be posting more, but you guys need to get on top of it, man. You need to watch these videos. I'll be posting more of the podcast. Good thing we're ending because I can't freaking talk right now. But more clips of the podcast, and I need 1,000. Subscribers, and I'm at 121, so I'm a far ways away, but yeah, definitely go over there and subscribe.
Peace.
See you guys.